Thanks for joining us on KPUPLP Patagonia 100.5 FM, Community Talk. I'm your host, Julie Holding. Community Talk usually airs every other week, alternating with Charlotte Lowe's show at the same time, 5 p.m. Sundays, on KPUP, Patagonia Community Radio. Now I'm pleased to welcome Jeffrey Cooper and Clint Trafton. Jeffrey is a board member and Clint is a co-president of the Patagonia Regional Community Foundation. Welcome, Jeffrey and Clint.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Let's start off with the phrase, investing in our community. Give us a sense of what that means in the context of the Community Foundation.
Well, it means exactly what it says. We are investing your money, you, the donors, in projects around the community and the region, and things like scholarships and so forth. It's a way of funneling the good wishes of the community expressed through their donations and improving things around here. It's a wonderful organization, and I'm very proud of it. I think we're doing great things.
So how does the Community Foundation go about improving things? What are the roles of the foundation?
Well, there are three principal roles for the Community Foundation, and the first one of that is building the endowment, or collecting donations from donors that are pooled into a fund, and that provides the basis for grant making in the community and the scholarships that we're able to provide. So the second role is that grant making and scholarships. And the third role is convening members of the community around significant issues and helping move the process to a resolution or to a point of better understanding in the community.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Do you have examples, like specific examples of upcoming events that illustrate those roles?
Well, I do, and one of the events that we have planned is our community conversation this coming Thursday, October 22nd at 6:30 p.m. at the Community Senior Center. We'll be convening a group around local government and what good government looks like, what the roles are in our local government, the town council, the town manager, the different department heads, and trying to really reach out throughout the community to develop better understanding about our local government. That would be really related to the convening role. We're also in the midst of coming to the end of our grant cycle, or we've really begun the grant cycle by soliciting the applications, and we'll receive those applications at the end of this coming week on October 23rd, and those will be for grants to different nonprofit organizations. Our third role would be the issuing of the grants, I guess. So we'll be...
The
endowment building, right. And at the end of our year, appeal letter, that's the third thing. We'll be, in early November, reaching out to the community to solicit donations to help support this work and continue to build our endowment.
So how did all this get started?
Well, I might take a stab at that, and I know that it really grew originally from the vision of a former mayor that many of you will recall, J. Peter Chipman, who was affectionately called Chip. And Chip had lived here for 20 years or more, very deeply connected to our community, and became mayor in the spring of 1998 at a time of real crisis in the community, financial crisis. And Chip's vision to develop a kind of permanent fund to help support the community through difficult times. And working with others, including yourself, Julie, he was able to identify the Community Foundation model as the model, and then sought out and learned more from the Arizona Community Foundation, with whom we are affiliated, and learned that there was a potential for a great partnership there.
So about what year was that all this got started?
That would have been in 1998. And Chip became mayor in May of 1998, and pretty quickly began to try to solicit funds from local people to develop an emergency fund to help meet the needs of the community right then and there. And that continued through the summer, and in the fall there were discussions with both the Arizona Community Foundation and the Southern Arizona Community Foundation as to which group we might be most effectively partnered with. And he decided, after meeting and talking with both the ACF staff and the local people, that the Arizona Community Foundation was our best bet.
So, actually, you know, I'd just like to take a moment here and mention that Ann Mihalik was also very involved in those early, very, very early conversations about the Community Foundation. And most of the other people who were involved in the earliest conversations aren't around anymore for a variety of reasons. But mm-hmm. Ann has been very involved with the Patagonia Regional Community Foundation and continues to be on the community circle.
Yes.
So how is the Community Foundation different from other organizations? What's the, like, essential difference?
The key difference,
this
to me, Trafton, that I didn't understand this at all some time ago when I first joined the organization. I'm the rookie, by the way. I've been there about 2 years now. And it came as a great, blinding, wonderful light to find out how this endowment thing works. This is not just collecting money to spend. This is collecting, as the name implies, an endowment, but it lasts forever. The money that anybody gives to this organization does not get spent. It gets invested. And from those investments, and they're limited to a certain percentage, and they go up and down like all investments do, but when you get to the magnitude of money like the money that the Arizona Community Foundation is able to deal with, you get good returns.
So and is those, the Patagonia money pooled with the Arizona?
Yes, it is. It is. However, it's kept separate. Yeah, I mean, we know where our money is, and we are allowed to spend money from investments, but whatever dollar an individual decides to give to this organization, that money stays with this organization and is spent over and over and over again from the investments that it produces. It's an amazing idea to me. I've never been a big money man, so that I'd never known about these kinds of things, but it's pretty exciting.
So are there any other local organizations that are managing in local endowments?
No, I don't believe there are.
I don't know of any.
No.
So that's one major difference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's another organization in Santa Cruz County.
Well, there is. There is the, and there's sometimes a confusion between the Community Coalition and the Community Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm the coordinator of the Community Coalition of Eastern Santa Cruz County, which came into being at about the same time, just a little bit later than the Community Foundation, but have very different roles in the community. There is also another community foundation, but in Santa Cruz County, but the Patagonia Regional Community Foundation is the only one focused on Patagonia and the communities of eastern Santa Cruz County.
Give us an overview of what the coalition does that's different than the Community Foundation.
The coalition is really a forum to bring together on a regular basis the service providers, nonprofit organizations, and other interested individuals throughout the eastern county to address local needs, provide information. It's a networking organization in large part, trying to bring people together so that we can most effectively work as a group across the spectrum. Now, there is a focus on youth and family, community wellness. It's sort of a broader mission that we try to address.
So would it be appropriate to think in terms of the coalition addressing issues and collecting resources from individuals and organizations to address those issues, and the Community Foundation in a position of providing funding?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's a good distinction.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's talk about who is the Community Foundation locally. Who's in the leadership?
Well, the current board of the Patagonia Regional Community Foundation would include Susan Scott, Faye Finley, Kelly Fleming, Jack Holder, Betsy McGee, Melissa Murrieta, Jim Sullivan, and then Clint and myself.
And you have a circle?
And we also have a community circle, and that group meets with the board on an annual basis to continue to keep us as broadly connected to the community as possible, mm-hmm. to really get the input around the needs in the community on a regular basis from a group a little larger than the board. And there are, as I said, about 30 individuals on the community circle.
Okay, well, you had mentioned the endowment, and the Community Foundation started in 1998. And what is the level of the endowment today?
It's $750,000, which is an amazing amount.
It is an amazing amount.
And of course, the Arizona Community Community Foundation that is much larger. I don't remember the exact figure, but it's in the millions. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of money available for good works. And in talking about the endowment and the organization, another thing that really impresses me is the huge volunteer base that both the Arizona Community Foundation and the affiliate foundations here and elsewhere in the state are, by and large, volunteer organizations.
Now, you mentioned affiliates elsewhere in the state. What other places in Arizona have affiliates?
I don't know how many there are, but I know of several locations. There's one in Nogales, that's the Santa Cruz Community Foundation. There's Sierra Vista, right? Cochise County. Can you think of any others?
Well, I believe there are 13 affiliates, of which we are one of those 13.
13, yeah, okay.
And the adjacent ones would be the Green Valley Community Foundation and the Cochise County Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. But they're in Kingman, they're in Yavapai County, they're in throughout the state. And to me, this is one of the incredible strengths of our partnership, because we are able then to receive not only the highly qualified professional investment support for our funds that we raise locally, but they're pooled with these other organizations to really maximize the leverage of those funds. And the Arizona Community Foundation charges us a fraction of what we would have to pay if we were privately engaged with an investment firm managing our funds for us. So it's a huge benefit for us to have that relationship. And not only do we receive that funding support, we also receive staff support from the Arizona Community Foundation. And that's one of the roles that Julie played over several years. And Julie left 2 years ago from that position, almost to the day. Mm-hmm. And we have a wonderful individual named Carol Sanger, who plays that role as our full-time staff support and liaison to the Arizona Community Foundation.
And Betty Myers?
And Betty Myers is our local administrative support that provides help to all of us working at the PRCF.
Mm. So the endowments are invested every year, and the earnings from those endowments form the basis of the grant making and scholarship giving for the Community Foundation. What can you say about the grants over the years? Who has benefited from grants?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I find amazing is the level of our endowment, that we've raised $750,000 in eastern Santa Cruz County, and that we have often seen the PRCF at or near the top of the list in terms of the per capita giving in our part of the county. And that reflects part of what Clint was saying a minute ago in terms of the support for this organization from volunteers and donors has been just remarkable.
And I that reminded me, I wanted to ask, what kinds of funds have gone into the endowment? Are they from individuals, corporations, other foundations, government? What's the basis of, who's contributed?
Well, I think the vast majority of them have come from individuals.
Yeah.
And have been And we've got a large group of individuals from, you know, small donations to larger donations that we've received. And as Clint was saying earlier, it's a remarkable thing. You can give $100 to the Community Foundation today, and that $100 is still going to be supporting our community 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It'll continue. It's like a perpetual gift that keeps on giving every year, a fraction or the percentage that has been generated from the investment income.
Some of the money comes from bequests too. People leave money to the organization in their wills and so forth. And related to this topic is another extremely important point to me, and that is that our overhead, our administrative costs, run about 1%, which compares very favorably to some organizations that spend 20-30% in the administrative costs. So that shows you that in terms of dollars, tells you something about the impact of the volunteer core, which is very good.
The to come back to your question about the grants, and in this 10 years of our existence, the Community Foundation has given out over $150,000 to 24 different organizations in the Eastern County. And this would include the Patagonia Creative Arts Association, the Volunteer Fire Department, the Food Bank.
Do you have an example or an example of a grant that you think was particularly successful?
Oh, I think, you know, there are, the Patagonia Senior Citizens have received significant funding from us over the years. And this has included everything from support for the vans and the transportation program to upgrades in the Senior Citizens Center, the community center, and
the food bank.
And I tend to come back to the Creative Arts Association and the extraordinary amount of work that they've been able to do with our young people over the past decade, where our students have been exposed to some of the highest quality artists and performers, and they've been introduced to theater, they've been introduced to dance, to all of the visual arts, and Gail and her crew at the Art Center have just done a phenomenal job.
Gail Jacobson.
And it's really inspired us at the PRCF to see she's always matching other money. Our grant is never alone. It's always leveraged with other grants. And she's a great example of how we can leverage our support, or how she can leverage our support for her to reach even more into the community.
A physical example is the Ramada in the garden, in the town garden. We helped finance that, and some of us even helped build it.
So, that's a good example.
Yeah, it's quickly becoming a place for weddings and parties and all kinds of wonderful events, town events, and that's certainly money well spent as far as I'm concerned. And I'm sure that the donors are happy with that too.
And probably another example is that some of you are listening and hearing us today because of the PRCF support for K-POP.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
You know, there's virtually every nonprofit in the Eastern County has been touched by the support of the PRCF.
And your announcement about the opening of the walk, that also has been supported by PRCF funds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Moving on then, I know that the scholarship program has been very important for the community.
It is very important.
And is that funded the same way as grants are funded?
Well, it's funded by giving scholarships. In that sense, it's the same. And we've been awarding $1,000 per year scholarships to students who stay in good standing. And we select on the basis of need to some extent, as well as scholarship, and as well as what they've been involved in school and so forth. That started in 2002, and there's some interesting stories about that, because if you look at the early grants or scholarships, I should say, that went to students, the kids were having a very rough time. I guess the deal was the checks were made available through the institution that they attend, but the kids were dropping out and were not doing well. And that went on for a couple of years. And then in 2005, when I wasn't around, maybe you were, Jeffrey, the organization decided to institute a mentor program. And so that somebody on the board assigns themselves as a mentor for a scholarship recipient. And that has worked. That has really worked. It really turned things around.
So describe what that means. What does that mean?
Okay, well, I'm a mentor. Okay. and Samantha Garcia is the student that I was assigned myself to. And what I do is get acquainted with her a little bit. You know, Jeffrey typically knows most of the students much better than I do, but I got to know Samantha a little bit while she was still in school here, and connected with her and told her that I wanted to hear from her and that I would be getting in touch with her. And so she then connects with me, and we talk about what she's doing.
You
that's
mean
all.
After she goes
off to university, I call her up and I say, well, "How's it going?" You know, and or she can call me. She's pretty much a do-it-yourself young woman, you know. But so there was very little calling me. One time she had gotten a little problem with the administration there about where the money was coming from and so forth. But that. She's just doing very well, and I call her and we chat. That's basically it. One young lady that I interviewed, that Faye Finley was her mentor, and the story I got from Faye and the story I got from Lucinda is her name, I think. Yeah, and anyway. She said that Faye became her very good friend, and Faye said that vice versa, she had obtained a new friend through this program. They're very close, you know, and it worked. And she was in trouble. She was having a lot of trouble and so forth, and might not have made it.
Well,
but she could talk to Faye about things and work it out.
Patagonia Union High School has a very small student body, and
uh-huh.
It is a very small school. And Pima Community College, University of Arizona, Northern Arizona University, and Arizona State in Phoenix are all very large institutions compared to Patagonia.
And that is probably what accounted for a lot of those early dropouts. You know, a kid coming from Patagonia and this high school. Used to small, intimate situations and classes. I mean, nobody really cares that much about incoming freshmen. I mean, I was a professor there, I know. And they're assigned, advisors and so forth, but it's up to the student to go to the advisor. There's no automatic mechanism for making sure that the student is helped. And sometimes it even seems the other way around. You know, there's so huge classes in personal situations. So the mentor, just talking over the phone, and in Samantha's case, she came home to visit occasionally, and we were able to connect personally. But it's a big help to have somebody who's letting you know that they care.
Mm-hmm.
And we do care.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And as a former professor at University of Arizona, you would be particularly suited to knowing what kind of assistance.
That's true. You know, and just talk to them about the fact that there are professors over there who don't care about students and how to deal with that. And to remember that you are the important person here. You're the student. You're the one we're supposed to be working for. And if you're not getting your money's worth or getting your appropriate treatment, then you talk to people, you know, and you make sure that that your wishes are not being met, and you tell people like me, I'll call them up, you know, and talk to them. Say, this is Dr. Trafton, you know, and it works. It does work, you know.
Well, it's just great to, for our local students to have advocates who can help.
Yeah, it is. It is. In terms of money, the cumulative total of scholarship funds to date, and this is based on what's been renewed, you know, from the last semester, $48,500. And I sincerely hope that we can increase that amount. Mm-hmm. The kids get $500 a semester if they're performing to good standards, but that's a drop in the bucket, you know. I'm really hopeful that we can increase the amount.
And how many students each year receive scholarships?
Two right now.
Every single year. So then.
Yeah. So you have a cumulative thing right now. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 students who are in the process, right? And they're set to receive their money at the beginning of the next semester, you know, assuming things go well this semester, and I'm pretty sure it will. We've got a good bunch of students right now. You know.
That's exciting. It's great to see our local students go to university and community college and succeed.
It is.
It's really rewarding.
I think one of the other points is that it also will provide for students who are interested in going to vocational schools or technical schools. So we're really in reaching out and trying to support students, whatever their interests are, whether it's a four-year or a two-year or a tech school.
And not every scholarship does that.
No. And that's part of what I think we've tried to address is some of the students that may not be, you know, at the very top of the class receiving significant scholarships to go to one of our three major universities, but students with every bit the same commitment and drive and interest in their future that need a little bit of extra help, and that's where we can really step in and make a big difference.
Yeah. We pick the students, they pick the location.
Yes.
And then how does the money trail work?
It goes to the institution.
Okay, so once the student has picked the school or the trade school or technical school, then
we supply the funds to that organization.
Directly to the school.
Yeah, and they supply it to the student. So.
Shall we move on to talking about the convening role of the Community Foundation? Would either of you like to say a little bit more? We mentioned the upcoming event this week, but give us an overview of the whole role of convening and what the foundation has done in the past with that.
Great. Yeah, I think it's an interesting role for the Community Foundation to play, and I think we do have one great example in the past where a few years ago, and working with you, Julie, there was a group of us that had shared an interest in trying to develop a program for affordable housing in the community. And one of the tools for the Community Foundation is an assessment of community needs that's really ongoing and a very deliberate, thoughtful process where we're really trying to continue to understand the needs of the community, to be able to match our donors' interests with those needs in the community. But beyond that, even really try to play a critical role in community issues. And affordable housing time and again came to the top of the list as one of those issues. And so there was a group convened through the Community Foundation that included a range of people in the community with different experiences, different interests, and really tried to look at that as a functioning group. And it was a steering committee on affordable housing. And after working together for a period of about a year, that resulted in the formation of CHOP, the Community Homes of Patagonia, the housing nonprofit that we now have actively working in the community to try to address this issue of maintaining affordable housing. And it was pretty clear, as someone who had worked with, and we have to give Todd Bowden huge credit for the work with CHOP and affordable housing. And Todd had made a couple of earlier efforts to create an organization for this purpose without being able to quite get the critical mass necessary. This convening process created that critical mass, created the energy, brought the people together, and it almost became easy then to create CHOP as a result of that. And that convening role again has been brought out of the Community Foundation around issues of local government and good local government and trying to you really need informed citizens to have good democratic government.
So how did that actually get started, this local government initiative?
Well, there was a couple of different groups of people who have become a little bit concerned about the tenor and the kind of level of discontent being expressed in the community, particularly at the town council meetings, and particularly in a very sort of disrespectful and a sort of lack of civility, a lack of respect for the community that we all share. And I think that it is that sense of civility and responsibility and commitment to the community that has brought us to see that this was another opportunity to bring our good offices to bear, if you will, on this issue and see if we can better develop people's understandings. I think that as a regular attendee at town council meetings, it's pretty clear that there are a wide range of understandings about what the roles and responsibilities are in the community among our political leaders and our department heads. And so we're hoping to develop a much better sense, get us all understanding how it works, how we can effectively participate, and how we can effectively all work together for our community.
And there's certain things that the council can and can't do. A lot of that is governed by budget.
Yes.
It's just the reality of mm-hmm. limited funds mm-hmm. in the town government. But so who is actually going to be helping explain that?
Well, we do have a guest speaker that we've been able to connect with and invite to come down, Tom Belshi, who is the deputy director of the League of Cities and Towns in Arizona. And the League of Cities and Towns is kind of like a trade association for municipal governments and has been a really great partner for Patagonia, having worked with previous mayors and councils and town managers and working closely with our existing council and town manager.
So what does the League actually do? I mean, how do they help?
Well, they will provide educational opportunities for town council members and for town managers and others in the community to grow their professional capabilities. They will also advocate for small towns and rural communities at the state legislature and advocate for the critical levels of funding that we're able to receive from the state. And in a way, it's not unlike the Arizona Community Foundation. They're able to pool their interests and support of many of the small towns. And the small towns don't have a voice at that level of the state legislature. So been a very important partner for the town of Patagonia. And Mr. Belshi has been involved with the League of Cities and Towns for a number of years and has a very good understanding of Patagonia and what the issues are. And we were very fortunate. He's also a good friend of Carol Sanger, who is our Southeast Arizona representative for the Arizona Community Foundation, and was just delighted to be invited to come down next week to our community.
That's great. So how is the meeting going to be organized? What's going to actually happen?
Well, there'll be initially a 45-minute presentation, more or less, from Mr. Belshi about how local government works, what the roles and responsibilities are as defined by law, and what our relationships are to the county and to the other entities, the state, that we would work with.
Will that include budget kinds of issues?
I think
and
so.
Funding issues?
I think so. And because I think it's important that people understand how the town is funded and where those funding, what those funding sources are and where they come from.
And what the town can do,
yes.
too.
Yes.
So, what is the role of the town? Because
yes.
apparently there's some misunderstanding about exactly what a town council can or cannot do. So,
mm-hmm. And then the second half of the program will really be a community conversation around these issues and the kinds of things that we would like to express and talk about. And so it will be kind of a facilitated discussion that I hope will also lead us to some next steps and will give us some follow-up so that we can continue to have and nurture this kind of conversation on a larger scale in the community.
So everyone's welcome to attend.
Yes.
And would you like to repeat the details about where it's going to be and when?
This Thursday, October 22nd, and it will begin. It'll run from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Patagonia Senior Community Center, and everybody's very welcome. And we'll only have an effective conversation if everyone comes to participate.
And especially, I would say, to invite those who are the most dissatisfied with the way things are going, you know, and feel that their interests are not being met, you know. So and talk about that.
Will Mr. Belshi address how their interests can be met?
Hopefully, or at least give hints or ideas of things that have worked in other places and in his experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, when I listened to each of you talk about various activities and things that the Community Foundation is involved in, I really feel the sense of dedication to the work and passion for what it is doing, or the organization is doing and can do. And I just would like, if you'd like to share, what is it that causes you to feel that way and be willing to devote so much time and energy on a volunteer basis to this organization and what it's doing?
Well, I'm in 2 years, roughly, and when I first got in, it was mainly because Betsy McGee, you know, said they needed some men on the board, and she thought I'd be able to do a good job and so forth. But as I've been a member and learned more, I've become more excited, especially about the scholarship program. I feel like even the kids who early on dropped out, they did at least get some experience of what the education process was about beyond high school and so forth, and it can't hurt, you know. I mean, to get a taste for that, I think that's an extremely important thing that may not happen in the lives of many kids, you know. So if we can, that's a good thing. The board is an excellent bunch of people. We get along well. We trust each other. Our world view, if you would, is very similar. What we have in mind is making this a better place to live and improving the lives of our citizens, and with some special focus on students. So
thank you, Cliff.
That's kind of where I am with
it. Thank you.
Yes.
Jeffrey, do you?
Well, I would agree with Clint. The board is a really great group of people, and I watched you, Julie, over the years create and assemble this rather amazing board, and it was always a model to me of what a local board could really look like and the kind of effectiveness that a local board. And I think that underscores some of what we said earlier about not only does your donations to the Patagonia Regional Community Foundation stay right here, and every single dollar is focused on our needs in the Eastern County, but the decisions about how that money is dispersed is made by local people who are very connected. The collective nature of our board touches every aspect of our community, and so any one of us can bring needs or interests to the attention of the board and really get somewhere with that and end up with some way that we can help. And so it's really important to understand how local this is and how empowering that is for us here locally. And I think there's no other organization that is so immediately connected to the needs of the community and advocating for those needs, not only within the PRCF, but it gives us the ability to advocate within other forums, and our work touches everyone who lives here. And it's the board reflects our community, and it's this sense of really being able to play a stewardship role in this community for our people that makes it really a pleasure to be a part of.
That's so beautifully said. Is there anything that you can think of that we haven't covered that is important to cover before we close?
No, I don't. I want to reiterate that I hope everyone in the community feels like they can come to the foundation and express their wishes or give us their ideas about something that we could perhaps do or talk about or convene a discussion group, that kind of thing. We're not elite. We are very open and would very much enjoy any kind of input.
What are the best ways for people to give that input? How can people give ideas, suggestions, thoughts, whatever they want to share?
Well, I can approach a board member, mm-hmm. and that's an easy way to do it. You could come to a meeting. Mm-hmm. We meet the second Tuesday of every month at 3:30 in the afternoon at the community center. And you'd be more than welcome to come in with suggestions or questions or anything else.
Well, since you mentioned the board, maybe we should read that list again. Just,
yes.
So that people, if they, you know, maybe someone who's listening has an idea they'd like to share. And Jeffrey, you have
yes,
that?
Yes, okay. I do. So Susan Scott, Faye Finley, Kelly Fleming, Jack Holder, Betsy McGee, Melissa Murrieta, Jim Sullivan, and then Clint or myself. And then I would also include Betty Myers, who is our administrative support, and whatever Betty brings anything to our attention that she learns about.
So and she's a humdinger, boy.
Yes.
She really is.
Yeah, she's really kind of our
secret weapon. She knows a lot. She helps a lot. Call her up and say, Betty, can I have this? And it's on your computer in the next 10 minutes.
Yes.
You know, she's great.
Yes.
And I'd just also like to add that during the financial crisis in Patagonia in 1998 and after, Betty volunteered as secretary for J. Peter Chipman. Mm-hmm. And when it became clear that I needed some help when I was serving as a staff person, Chip said, that was just right off the top of his head, Betty Myers, you have to get Betty Myers. No matter how much it costs, we have to get her.
Yes.
So I just can't say enough about Betty.
No,
she's
I don't
great.
Think any of us can. She's just really wonderful and really fun to work with.
Yes.
The only other thing I might mention is do look in your mail in the next couple of weeks. You'll be receiving an end-of-the-year appeal from us, and we really need your support. And we need your help to continue doing the work that we're doing. And so if there's anything that Clint and I have said and Julie has said with you this evening that underscores the importance of the Community Foundation, I hope that will remain with you and consider making a donation to us this winter, this fall.
And it's especially true in this economic hard time that people dig deep, help us out, and in turn, hopefully we'll turn that into good works for the community and the region.
Okay, well, as a former staff person and someone who has really been very committed to the concepts of the Community Foundation for many, many years, and for whom it was hard to leave the staff, actually, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate the work that the two of you are doing and the current board. It's so rewarding to see the strength of the organization going forward. I'm thrilled to be on the community circle and still somewhat involved, but I just can't tell you how grateful I am for all of your time and dedication to this. It means a lot.
And thank you very much for inviting us on your show.
That's right.
It's been a pleasure.
And I, you know, the community owes you, Julie, a tremendous debt of gratitude for your nurturing and working with Chip in the early years and the others, with Annie and others, to nurture this whole concept of what we could, the potential. And I really believe you saw the vision that Chip saw as well of what this foundation could do for our community and will continue to be doing decades into the future when we're long gone. And I, you know, we're really grateful to you. And that was part of the real joy of becoming involved with the Community Foundation years ago, was working with you and that way in which you've inspired the community to respond to this. And so thank you for all you've done and will continue to do.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I so appreciate you both of you coming, and thank you again.
It's been a most enjoyable
interview. Thank you for listening to Community Talk. Listen to local Patagonia interviews every Sunday at 5 o'clock on KPUP, Patagonia 100.5 FM.